When's the last time you met someone who knocked your socks off? Someone whose charm and spirit sparked a deep urge to just be around them? When's the last time you were seduced? Cultural historian Betsy Priolo writes about seductresses and ladies' men. Anne asked her, why seduction?
I've always been fascinated with a seductive power. I grew up in the South in the old days when women didn't have anything else to gain status and achievement. It was only via a man. So as a result, we were raised to seduce. But when I began studying seductresses in literature, I was astounded because the seductresses in literature were really very assertive, different from the training that I had had. Then I began studying seductresses throughout history. I saw that they had been misunderstood. I then turned to men and to see whether the same misunderstanding existed there. I found that they really are not the sexual predators and bad boys of popular lore.
Of course, these days I think seduction feels a bit like a dirty word, kind of implies manipulation.
Yes, that's a complete misunderstanding of the word seduction. Seduction is like charm. It's the way of getting the answer yes. You don't have to play act. You don't have to dissemble in order to attract someone to you. It's a highly sophisticated art. It used to be taught and written about a great deal, starting with antiquity, but it's been forgotten.
So you're not talking about pickup artists, guys who vaunt themselves on their, you know, prowess at getting women to go home to bed with them?
Oh, just the reverse. Seducers love women. They treat them very, very well, and they make them feel wonderful.
When you look through history and began collecting stories about master seducers and seductresses, you know, Cleopatra, Duke Ellington, Casanova, Bill Clinton.
Right.
What did they teach you about what makes for a good seduction?
The first thing you have to be a great seducer or a great seductress is that intangible quality, charisma.
Does that mean you have to be beautiful or handsome?
Just the reverse. In fact, as the heroine in Fellini's Juliet of the Spirit says, the powers of seduction are all inside. All of these seducers and seductresses were masters of cerebral charms. Let's take the Russian writer, for example, Ivan Turgenev. Here's a man who enthralled women with his, quote, beautiful faculty of talk. He was tall, stoop-shouldered, and no beauty. Henry James called him an overripe pear. But when he opened his mouth and talked to women, they fell like shot birds.
Wow. Maybe there were men like that around in the past, but do you know any men like that today?
Yes. Actually, one of them I interviewed for my book. That was one of the fun parts about writing.
You're telling me
books.
You traveled around interviewing contemporary seducers?
Well, it didn't, you know, they fell in my lap, to tell you the truth. I didn't plan to do that. I had so many historical examples. And then one night, a priest called me up. I'm not even a Catholic. And this priest called me up and said, I hear you're working on ladies' men, but you must interview this fellow. And sure enough, this man appeared at my door who was, again, not beautiful at all. In fact, he was on the wrong side of 60. And yet he was so charming. He was such an enchanting conversationalist. He loved women so much. You were just drawn into this whirlpool of attraction to him. There are a group of undercover Casanovas who are operating right now underneath the radar, and they have a lot to teach men today.
Okay, so what do they have to teach men?
Well, I think men are at a complete loss right now because they grew up in a hookup culture. They don't know any of the rules, any of the rituals of courtship.
You mean like now, they don't show up at the door with a dozen red roses and sweep a woman off her feet? But, I mean, most of them would be laughed off the doorstep if they did that.
Yes, if they did it without imagination. But the whole point of this ancient art of love is that whatever you do in courtship has to be creative. It has to be done with swerve and difference and a little bit of drama and surprise. No, you don't want to follow any of those cliched scripts. But I do think that women today are dying for men to resume a passionate approach, to woo them.
Sounds like you're saying that seduction and maybe romance are all about paying attention, close, tailored attention, and making the other person feel pursued, desired.
Exactly. Built into the construction of love is idealization of the other. And that's why praise is so important. Everybody wants to be a bigger, photoshopped self in love. And that's been embedded in the concept of love since the beginning of time. That's an important courtship tactic for men to resume today. And another one, too, is festivity. In fact, somebody did a study of all of the personals online and in newspapers and found that the number one requirement, which surprised me, was fun.
Looking for a fun time.
Yeah. Well, festivity is an affinity display, and it creates not only a loss of inhibitions, but it draws people together.
And now, what about on the other side? What are men looking for?
Men are fronting right now when they say that they don't want to fall in love. They just want casual partners. They want hookups. What men really want, according to studies, is a grand amour.
Men want the happy ever after, too?
Believe it. They fall in love at first sight much faster than women do. They fare worse after breakups. They are closet romantics.
You know, the truth remains that at least in some parts of the world, gender roles really have changed. Do we now need to figure out a new road to romance, new ways to seduce?
I think so. I think Rimbaud is the one who said it. We need a new myth of love for our age.
Betsy Priolo's latest book is called Swooned,